This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
So we're going to treat those five games where try to maintain our goals for, lower the goals against. Special teams, try to maintain a certain percentage with each of those. You know, set goals for areas of the team that are going to help us win and take some pride. If you're a penalty killer, take pride in getting your part done.
Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff talking a bit there about the way forward for his team. They've been back at practice. In fact, we're on the ice again today after a day not exactly off yesterday, but it wasn't a practice media attended yesterday. But anyway, they get back on the ice for a game tomorrow at 5:30 downtown at KeyBank Center against the New York Rangers. I am the Bulldog. Glad to have you with us here on this Friday. 803-0550 is the number. Mike Schoep, by the way, has been on vacation this week. So you got just me here today leading us into the weekend. Talking a lot about, all week long, the conversation about the Four Nations face-off. The final game last night was tremendous. I've not seen TV ratings yet. I know that in the U.S., the game on Saturday night between Canada and the United States had 4.4 million viewers, which was the number that I saw reported. I've not seen it yet. It's possible it's out there and it just hasn't crossed my face yet, but I'll be curious to see what that ends up looking like. Great game, tremendous platform for the sport, a lot more people drawn in. And while that's not the most important thing to me, it certainly is not something I'm opposed to. Really enjoyed it, and I think a lot of people got an eyeful of it. Where they all go from here and where hockey goes from here and where we go from here with the Sabres is something that's more and more starting to be on my mind. Really, as this tournament captured so much of our attention, there was, to me, I've mentioned this a few times, I haven't wanted to really dwell on it, but now that it's over and the Sabres are officially back tomorrow afternoon or early evening, however you want to view 5:30 p.m., what a weird start time. Anyway, now that we're back, the whole time I sort of felt like we're going to be bitter to an extent, or maybe bitter is not the right word, but it's enjoying the sport played at that level again is going to remind, I think, a lot of us who are Sabres fans how distant that feels. I mean, again, you know, any team in the league can't meet the level of play that we watched in this tournament between any of these four nations, but especially Canada and the U.S. It's impossible to do. To have your passion sort of reignited a bit by this tournament and then have to turn your attention to the Sabres is depressing might be too strong, but it doesn't feel great because I don't really know what to do next. if I'm the Sabres. We'll get the calls here in 1 second. I saw Jeremy and Joe talking about this morning. It was one of those video cut-ups because we're on YouTube and on the Twitch there. And so I saw them talking for just a couple of minutes about the Sabres and like what to do next. And my thought was, what I said on Twitter was, I have thought about this maybe more than is healthy. And I really don't, I don't have what I think is a great idea. I really don't know what to do next. We've tried a lot of stuff. We've tried different managers. We've tried different coaches. We've tried sinking to the bottom and drafting early. We've tried making trades, and like nothing seems to work. The last card I have to throw down on the table is they get struck by lightning by some incredible goalie season. Lukanen or Levi, like one of those dudes shows up one of these years and just plays like at a 925 save percentage, 2.5 goals against, and is like a Vezina candidate. I don't know what else to do. I think that's it. And at least that's the best I can do right now. And that is like Rudy, I think, for a lightning strike at this point. Just say, well, I sure hope it happens. Man, it's a tough spot we're in. Anyway, so two things going here. Four Nations, your reaction to that, and you got an idea for what to do for the Sabres? First response I got to this on Twitter was, fold the franchise, disperse the assets, and come back as an expansion team. If you want a window into like how some of the audience is feeling about the fortunes of the hometown hockey team right now. Ryan will lead us off here this segment. Hi, Ryan. Thank you for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Bulldog, my man. Great show, bro. First of all, I want to say, this is my opinion. This is how I felt last night watching the game, U.S. versus Canada. I felt like I was more into that game, more than I was into the game versus the Stanley Cup Game 7, Edmonton versus Florida last season. Because I think I was more into it because, you know what, it's a national game. Versus, you know, there's a lot of Leafs fans who they don't want Edmonton to win, yada, yada, yada. But I think there's a lot. I'm speaking for myself, but I'm pretty sure most Canadians was into it more than I was. And you brought up the topic of ratings. I want you to see people get a chance. Look at the ratings of last night's game versus Game 7 of the Stanley Cup playoffs. I bet you the rating for last night's game was much higher than the Game 7 Edmonton versus Florida.
I think you're going to be right about that, Ryan. During the break, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Nice to hear from you. I did look this up. I don't have last night's numbers yet. I haven't seen them yet. I don't have like Gary Bettman sends me an email with the numbers the way I mean. I don't have them yet. Like a courier will be rolling them in here at any time now. Anyway, I haven't seen the numbers yet for last night, but I mentioned last segment, Saturday night's Team Canada-USA round-robin game had 4.4 million viewers in the United States. All right, I've got some combined ratings, too, from last season's Stanley Cup Final. But anyway, so I'll speak for the United States anyway. 4.2 million viewers for Game 7 last year between Florida and Edmonton. Now, so you're already ahead of things from Saturday's round-robin game. Now, that was a Saturday night versus a Thursday night, so I don't know how much that could swing it, but I'd be stunned if more people didn't watch last night after Saturday in the United States. Now,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me slow down. Saturday was on ABC. Last night was on ESPN. That can have an impact. Anyway, I would bet you're going to be right. I think more people in the United States anyway, and maybe in Canada too. 16.3 was the total number, including Canada and the U.S. So if you subtract the 4.2, you're talking about 12.1 million Canadians watched Game 7 last year. I guess North America includes Mexico too. Anyway, I would be surprised if last night's game doesn't exceed 4.2 or even Saturday night's 4.4, despite the ABC ESPN change. So I think you're right. I think last night did draw more people in. And look, the flags are there. There's just more people that are going to get drawn into that than they are to see McDavid play Matthew Tkachuk in the Florida Panthers in Game 7 in June, by the way. You know, like, that's a tough time of the year, I think, for hockey anyway, even though it's the most important time of the year. But I'd be surprised if, when we see the ratings, that last night's game doesn't exceed what Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final was last year. Again, 4.2 was that number. Million viewers in the U.S. watched that game last year. 803-0550 is the number. Paul is up next. Hi, Paul. Thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
Oh, Bulldog, amazing game last night. You know, I did get sucked in by Kreider in the playoffs last year. He, as you said, didn't get much ice time, but he wasn't impressive in his ice time. But I will say I didn't expect Kyle Connor to be the guy scratched.
Me either. Yeah, you mentioned Nelson, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
I mean, Connor's like the sixth leading scorer in the league. I mean, I know he wasn't producing in this tournament, but that was a weird move, I think.
It was an interesting one, but today's no day to throw slings and arrows at Team USA. They were brilliant. Jordan Binnington, though, just proved he is a big, big game player, and that was part of the difference. I will say one of the things that was gut-wrenching was the final goal. How many goals against the Sabres are scored like that, where a forward just, for whatever reason, forgets his responsibility right in the slot,
right,
and there's a clean slot in the shot, and everybody's like, oh, Dahlin sucks, look at that, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's the second Colorado game. Dahlin goes in on McKinnon in the corner, and I think it was Rantanen just wide open in the spot, gets a pass. That's exactly what happened to the Sabres probably every third game and multiple times a game. I mean, our defensemen are a lot better than they're given credit for, because our forwards, while offensively really brilliant, still at basic defense, they have these brain farts constantly. A player I was super impressed with in this tournament that I guess it's my fault I didn't follow him enough, but Colton Parenko, I had no idea he had the offensive upside. He had showed some blazing speed at moments. He acquitted himself quite well in a fight, and he just sound all over the place. Great player. And I would say I was a little disappointed in Jack Hughes. You see his speed and skill, but I think his youth, and he's just not physically strong enough yet. He got abused physically a bunch in this series. And though he, next year in the Olympics, you hope he's got a few more pounds of muscle because he is the future of U.S. hockey, but he's still very green and young. Bulldog, have a great show.
All right, Paul, appreciate it very much. Parayko has mostly, you know, look, he flashed carrying the puck, but I saw some criticism on Twitter, like, thanks for these rushes that lead to nothing. Like, it wasn't exactly productive. So I don't know that I really need him barreling up the ice with the puck, because it just mostly just ended in the U.S. ending up with the puck again. He has had a big shot his whole career. He's a big guy, and he leans into it. So he's had a big shot. So that wasn't much of a revelation for me anyway. I mean, I appreciate you pointing him out, and I agree completely on Hughes. Just a real almost no-show. And, you know, in tournaments like this, You have a very short time to adapt to playing on the wing as opposed to playing in the middle. And so comfort level-wise, maybe he just never really found his groove. But I'm with you. He was, I would say, disappointing. Among the very best players the country has to offer, and did not really give you much of anything at all. So, yeah, I mean, that's that. And look, the coverage in front of the net, Matthews, it happens so fast. It's just so fast. So I that's not to give anybody an excuse on the Sabres in their games or last night. It's just, it's not inexplicable to me that he would get pulled in and pulled away. I think it takes a lot of discipline to not watch the puck and pursue the puck, and that's what happened to Matthews, and he got burned. You know, it happens, and it happened in a tough spot. Even tougher for him that he's the U.S.'s best guy, right, or one of them certainly. He's in front all alone with Binnington, a little too close in to, you know, sometimes being that close is your worst enemy because you can't really get it over the goalie from there. Like the way the geometry works, it can be hard to elevate it enough and not end up just having to go over the net when you're that in close. The angles can be tough that way, and they're very deceiving when you're watching just on TV. Whereas McDavid is much higher in the slot, and the opportunity to pick a corner is more available to him there. And how quickly that play happened, too. I mean, Hellebuck is watching the play in the corner. He's on his post. And you can tell I'm turning my head as I'm for some reason, I'm moving the way I think Hellebuck would have been moving on the play, because that's important. Anyway, he's on the post, and then it's out there, and it's hard to get out far enough to take away all the angles and all the corners when a guy is that high in the slot and open like McDavid was. So, and he made no mistake. But Matthews had the chance to end the game and couldn't beat the goalie. McDavid gets a similar chance and makes no mistake. Again, one was in tighter, the other one was out, and I think that gave McDavid an advantage. But still, it's stark to me that your best guy, or certainly one of your best guys, has the puck on his stick, opportunity to win the game, and gets thwarted, and a few minutes later, he's at the scene of the crime, makes the mistake that leaves the best player in the world all alone in the slot, and that dude does not make any mistake and buries it, and you lose. So tough one for Austin Matthews there. Thanks for the call so far. More on the way at 803-0550. Paul Hamilton at the top of the hour. Marty Baron at 435. All on this Four Nations face-off, and some Sabres mixed in as we go as well. Again, Mike is away this week. I am the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.